Welcome back to Victor Voices, the podcast that gives you an access all areas pass into the world of private aviation. Today's guests are actually one of our Altor loyalty program partners, Scott Dunn. We've got Jules Maury, who heads up their Scott Dunn private division and is the head of loyalty over there. And she's also joined by one of Victor's own, Davide Palladino, who is a vice president of the sales team, looking after one of the biggest books of clients in the company. Had a great conversation about the pandemic and how that's affected luxury travel and what the trends are for travel going forward and how things will change. Jules shared some excellent stories, some great insight, and it was a really enjoyable conversation. You're listening to Victor Voices.
Victor Voices.
Victor Voices.
Victor Voices.
Victor Voices.
Victor Voices. Victor Voices. This is Victor Voices. Voices. Right, well, I think we can get started. Everyone's ready. First of all, welcome back to the listeners. Welcome back to Victor Voices. Really glad to be recording another episode of the podcast. We've had quite a while since the last one. And today we've got Jules Maury. Am I saying that right?
You are indeed. Jules
Maury from Scott Dunn and one of our own, Davide Palladino. And I'll let you two introduce yourselves and just say, tell the listeners what you do. Jules, we'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Jules Maury and I run the Scott Dunn private side of Scott Dunn, which is for our private members. It's a private members by invitation only club, and we have a small designated team and a travel team who look after these people, which are our high net worth guests.
Brilliant. And Davide, tell the listeners about yourself.
Yeah, hi everyone. My name is Davide, as you already said, Dan. I'm very excited to be part of this podcast. I've been working with Victor now for 6 years almost. It feels like a lifetime, but I've pretty much enjoyed it. And that's definitely also part because of the team, how dynamic it is. I'm very looking forward to have this conversation with Jules, which I have been actually working for some time now, very closely.
Yeah, and so Scott Dunn, for the listeners, is a luxury holiday provider, top of the pops in that sector. And Scott Dunn and Victor have worked together actually for a long time. Davide, you've been their account manager. But more recently, we formalised the partnership and Scott Dunn joined forces with Victor and became one of Victor's Altor loyalty programme partners. And I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit more later on the conversation. But in this episode, we're going to be talking about the events of 2020, obviously the pandemic, how that's affected luxury tourism and how Scott Dunn's pivoted through that. The launching of Scott Dunn Private, which Jules, you head up. And Jules is going to be sharing her thoughts on how travel might change in 2021 and years in the future because of what's happened. And I'm sure we'll get plenty of insight into these exceptional experiences that Scott Dunn put on for their clients and now are putting on for some of Victor's clients as well. So, but let's start with this year. In many ways, this year has been one to forget, but one that we will undoubtedly remember forever. So how has this year been for you, Jules?
I'd say the word roller coaster would probably be the most apposite word to use. We started off the year in January and February on the most incredible positive note, and suddenly March hit us, and I don't think that anybody in the travel industry has ever been through such a critical time where we have had to move, we have had to be nimble, we've had to change, we've had to adapt like nothing else that any of us have known. I've been with Scott Dunn Private now for 10 years, and I was in the travel industry on and off for many, many years before that. And whoever you talk to, they simply say the same thing. It was unprecedented. Nobody knew from day to day it would get better or worse. And I think it's been the uncertainty for both us and for all of our guests that has been really so so difficult to deal with.
Absolutely. I personally think, you know, it's easier to deal with hardship when you know when there's an end in sight. But actually, one of the problems with the pandemic is that it's just seems to be this open-ended rollercoaster ride, like you said, and it makes it very difficult to deal with. We had a similar start to the year as Scott Dunn at Victor, to be honest. Davide, why don't you jump in and just talk about how it's been for you and at Victor?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I mean, as Jules said, it was an absolute roller coaster because no one really knew what kind of uncharted water we would actually find ourselves. And it was literally just we had to take it day by day. And every day was something new that got implemented, new adjustments, new rules. And you just had to be agile to react in a way that was in the interest of the customer at the end, but also would not harm the business itself, because we all were at the very fragile situation where we couldn't possibly know what's gonna come upon us. So yeah, very challenging. I will always say to my customers, I think I've learned over the last 6-9 months as much as I learned in my whole career in private aviation, and that's now almost like 8 years. So
yeah,
It was challenging, but I have to say it was also very interesting, to say the least.
I agree. I think we've had to learn a new way of doing what we do, with having to check all these things beforehand. And, you know, would you say it's similar with what you're doing, Jules? Have you had to learn or adopt new processes because of the restrictions that are in place?
We had to adopt a lot of new processes, and I think the word all the way through has been flexible. As things changed so fast, we were in situations trying to protect, obviously, our relationships with our hotels, our relationships with the airlines. But as Davide's just said, one day you had somebody who was going on holiday in 5 days' time. Then the government would change the corridors, a quarantine might have been brought in, a country's borders were suddenly closed, and everybody had to change. But you had to try and protect your members to make sure that they were covered. You had to equally be aware that someone like Victor had a contract out with a private jet, and you equally might have had a hotel in the middle of Botswana in Africa who actually had no reason to cancel because their borders might have been open when ours was shut.
Yeah.
Not a great example, but it's just shows the complete uncertainty we faced every day with these changes.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, like you kind of alluded to there, there's been a lot of situations where one party, everyone's been in survival mode. So one party's trying to almost, you know, beg for flexibility in some cases. I know I've had to do that with some of our aircraft operators. And the other party are in survival mode too. So they need to protect their own interests. So it's been really difficult for everyone involved. What about your team, Jules? Do you think the team have handled things well? Have they found it difficult not being, because I know that your business, a lot of them vet these places in person, or has it affected the team?
I think it's affected the team enormously, in that they haven't been able to get physically out there to look at some of the properties that they normally need to do to get that extraordinary experience of knowing the GM, knowing the hotel, knowing all the areas around. But far more importantly, I've got three on my Scott Dunn private team. And we look after the planning of everything. And then there are obviously the travel consultants who put together the holidays, and they are the specialists. They have had the most difficult time because they have either been postponing or rearranging. They haven't been doing what they normally do, which is book holidays.
Yeah.
And when you introduce on top of that the people that we had to furlough, and that's been across every single industry, people have had to do jobs that they weren't actually probably prepped or ready to do. Everyone's yeah. had to be so nimble at being a different person and handle something that they weren't, you know, it wasn't their remit. And that, yeah, that's been the hardest thing for the teams, I think.
I couldn't agree more. It's been very similar, would you say, Davide, with Victor and our team. We also took advantage of the furlough program. And just adding all of that, our team's quite large in the sense of we have about 15 brokers in the UK. So all of their work then got piled onto a much smaller team. And, you know, we had to be flexible and just be as strong as possible throughout. But I am aware that a lot of the podcasts and the videos and everything that are out there at the minute are all heavily focused on the pandemic. So I want to leave the pandemic there. Now I just want to talk about Scott Dunn in all of its glory, so that the listeners can really get a feel for what's going on over there. But I had a look at the website. I've looked at it quite a few times. And from what I understand, Jules, you've had a very interesting life, lived all over the world. So I'd quite like to hear just a little bit about that, actually, to begin with, and then how that led to you getting into travel.
I think, in a sense, you could describe me as a Bedouin. I was a child of expat parents. So we grew up living in all sorts of places, grew up in America, grew up in Europe, Hong Kong. And then I went on in my personal life to spend 5 years in Australia, 5 years in Vietnam, which was an incredible place to discover Asia. And then I had 5 years in South Africa, which meant that the great discovery of the African continent was literally right there, along with my parents living in Switzerland. So I suppose you could describe me genuinely as a child who's probably been all over the world almost.
Bit of a nomad.
Bit of a nomad. And that's why I love travel and love talking about travel and always was involved in travel, whether personally when I wasn't working or whether I was actually working for a company, because that's what I do. That's what my fascination is. Anything that opens, anywhere that's new, anything that is a exciting adventure arriving on the horizon, that's what I want to get my guests to and go to.
And before you worked at Scott Dunn, you went into travel, I assume, and have done various different roles.
I either worked in travel in the strangest. I worked for the Sultan of Oman's family, for instance, and used to do all their travel personally. I've worked for family travel. And then on the other side, I worked for Powder Burn before I worked for Scott Dunn. That's how I knew Andrew all those years ago. We were competitors side by side and put their worldwide program together and their children's explorers equivalent at Scott Dunn. We called them the Scallywags there. So I've sort of dipped in and out of travel, whether it's been organizing people's travel in a family office situation or through companies. And that's when I came back from my last stint, which was in Africa. I worked for Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And then Andrew asked me to come across to look at the loyalty private side of Scott Dunn. And that's where we kicked off again.
Great. So you've literally been traveling your whole life. There's no better expert than someone who's been traveling around their whole life. Where was the best place you lived, would you say? Where was your favorite place to live?
Do you know, people ask me that so often, and it's really hard because every place gets under your skin. Australia was incredible because it actually gave me a chance at the end of my living there to actually sail across the South Pacific for a year. So I really Wow. went to some incredible places and met some amazing people. The wonder of Indochina, which I will never forget, were the people. It was just everybody was there and the history that was around it. And Africa, you can't stop loving it. You miss that big sky. You miss those great big smiles and you miss everything that it offers. So it's really, really hard. I just had this love affair somehow for everywhere I go to. But
with the world.
With the world, I know. With the world.
Fair enough. Well, so tell us some more. You mentioned in brief what Scott Dunn is and does, but tell us a bit more about Scott Dunn and what separates Scott Dunn from the likes of your competitors.
I think what separates us from our competitors is our people. I think that the travel specialists who are there, their passion, their inspiration, the way that they actually get into the fabric of the country. It's not just a question of talking to somebody like you and saying you get here like this and you arrive there and you should stay in this hotel. It's their understanding of the guests that we deal with. We're actually all trained to understand the different personas so that we can actually best match who they are to somewhere. Anyone can go to, for instance, Vietnam. Anybody can stay in a certain hotel. But by understanding whether the person or the family you're dealing with, what they want, do they want adventure? Do they want to just relax on a beach? Do they want to get involved in the culture? Do they want to meet certain people and have a chance? And are they into sustainability and the whole eco side? People are so different. And if you don't match the persona of the person to where you're actually sending them to, you just become somebody who takes an order to plan a holiday. And we go further than that. We're in the know with everything we do. And we really, really care about getting it right where we send you. And I think that is one of the fundamental differences between a lot of companies who just have an idea where you should go. That's the country, that's the hotel, and boom.
Yeah, so you're trying to match the personality of the person with the very personality of the actual places that you're sending them to.
Critical. That's when you really turn a holiday into something that's truly memorable, as opposed to something that was just a very enjoyable experience.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, for those fortunate enough to go on an experience like that, I've only ever been on your typical holiday where you just kind of look at the pictures and then go if it looks nice. But I can imagine how special that feels if, you know, everything about the places that you end up going to match up with what you think, how you see the world, essentially.
Yes, and that's the tough bit. That's where you really need to understand your guest. You need to listen. It's so easy to pick up the phone. Oh, hello, Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones says, I want to go on a 2-week holiday to Asia. What do you think? And immediately you jump in. Well, you could go here, you could go there, and blind them with your own personal knowledge. But the more questions you ask and the more you probe into what Mr. Jones actually, what are his expectations? What are his dreams? What does he get passionate about? If you listen to someone and you pick up a little nuance when he mentions something, you think, oh, you're into culture, or oh, you're a foodie, or gosh, actually, can't put you on a beach because you sound like you'll be bored rigid in 3 days. We need to make sure that you've actually got plenty to do.
Yeah.
How old are they? How young are they? Who are their children? You know, what do their children like? People are so time poor, and even more at the moment. The holidays, which used to be perhaps something people took for granted, are now, they're out of most people's reach.
Yeah.
So it's even more important that the first holiday they go on since this pandemic, since this lockdown, is absolutely perfect. You can't have waited for a year with nothing and been disappointed time and time again with cancellations, and then finally get to where you're going and think, oh my God, this is all wrong.
Yeah. And I can imagine that the caliber of clients that you're dealing with as well, they have access to whatever they want in some respects. So being able to put together something that they can't put together themselves is the key, right?
Yes. And I think that brings us back to Victor, because certainly Davide and I have noticed this year that people might not have actually decided that flying by private jet was A, within their means, or B, something that they needed to do, and they could go first class or they could go business class. But what I think the whole pandemic has instilled in people is a need to actually be safe,
yeah,
a need to bypass a lot of the hassle of what they perceive in an airport to be uncomfortable, and something that perhaps if they've got elderly parents or very small children. So they've come to us, and we've seen people who might not normally travel by private jet. We've got all our very high net worth guests who do, and some of them have their own planes. But it has been interesting how people have suddenly said, do you know what? It's not so expensive to do this. Let's look at it. And then that they're not doing it to show off, but they're doing it to be more comfortable and feel more safe.
Yeah, definitely. There's certainly been a new lens, I think, put onto people's perception of what is acceptable now with things like airports and flying in big groups on commercial planes. I think that's a segue perfectly, Davide, into you. Why don't you tell listeners how our partnership with ScotDun works? So obviously ScotDun is one of our Alto loyalty program partners, but just explain what that means for someone who wants to book a holiday with ScotDun and the jet with Victor and how they benefit.
Sure. If I may, I would just echo what Jules said in the very first beginning. I mean, you literally just hit the nail on its head. Passion about what you're doing is really crucial in order to actually be able to provide a service that really means something to the end customer. And if you don't create this kind of relationship, and if you don't really transpire your passion and really interest that you really want to make this experience unique to them and that you really care, at the end of the day, it's just becoming like a normal product and you're just executing something, an order, as Jules said. Yeah. And I could not agree more than that. The other thing I want to say is also, I mean, I'm working a lot with Scott Dunn's travel agent. And one thing that really surprises me every time is like the trust that their guests actually have in their travel agents, which just means that they are really doing an excellent job. Like if there is no trust, then, you know, again, we're just executing something, and the customer will most likely not come back to us or to them because, you know, the experience was just not really what they were. Exactly, yeah. And this is why I really like to work with ScotDun, because I know that they are the experts in their fields. And I know I can trust, as much as they trust us, their guests, I can trust as well our customers to them.
Yeah.
And we had this conversation, me and Jules, several times, where she is always saying, leave Davide doing his job. And I know that he is leaving us doing our job, because we are the experts in two different fields, but combined together, we can just excel and deliver a superb product. So that's what I wanted to share here. With regards to the ScotDun partnership, I mean, it's amazing that over the last couple of years, we were able to build or strengthen our relationship. And now with the Alto partnership, I think that's the next step in the right direction. It allows ScotDun to create his loyalty even more with their guests. And if they want to obviously explore now even more the possibilities to travel on a private jet, because as Jules said, I mean, trust and transparency and safety is even more important now than before. They can just reach out to us and we'll look after them to travel on a private jet. So the question you had was about how the partnership works.
Yeah, so if let's say a client either comes to Victor for a jet but wants a holiday, or goes to ScotDun because they want a holiday and then that ends up leading to needing a jet, How does Alto, our loyalty program, come into that as a mechanism for the client to benefit at the end of it?
So we have two mechanisms. One is that Scott Dunn is introducing a guest that has not had an experience flying privately before, introduces them to Victor and will guide them, obviously, with assisting in finding a private jet. And once they book, they will not only benefit from being an Alto member, which is our loyalty program, which means that every US dollar they spend will reward them with one Alto point, which has a monetary value they can always redeem for their next trip. So that's one benefit they get, but they also get $1,000 discount for their first booking with us straight away. They will also earn then Alto points on their booking, the holiday booking they do with Scott Dunn, which is per US dollar they spend with Scott Dunn is giving them two Alto points. So this is the kind of reward they can benefit. And again, those Alto points, they can accumulate them. They are on their account. And if they want to redeem them towards the next flight, they can always do that straightforward, or they can continue just to accumulate them. Then the second mechanism is obviously if we have a customer that is interested in a holiday, we have now an expert, and we can basically introduce our customer to Scott Dunn, which will again take care of their holidays, and in combination with the private jet, they can again redeem or earn Alto points for their next flight. It's a great system, and I really hope that a lot of our customers will really start to see the benefit of using an expert in their fields and have all these amazing experiences.
Absolutely, and you look after one of the biggest book of clients in Victor, so it'd be interesting just to hear your perspective of whether you've seen, like Jules was saying, your clients behaving differently, maybe talking to you more about wanting to have that extra bit of holiday rather than just the usual. Because I think a lot of people get into routines of they go here at this time and then they go there at that time, whereas having had a break now and been forced to stop and kind of look at everything in a different way. Have you seen customers now booking different flights that they wouldn't usually have booked, or asking you about recommendations for holidays because they're looking to do something a bit bigger and a bit better next year?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I really noticed is that customers, they really want to know more about what they're actually booking. Transparency is key at the moment. And even more is to be able to trust actually someone, whether that's with regards to safety, whether that's with regards to flexibility. Flexibility has become a major topic within our industry. The amount of time I spend with customers to discuss what if something happens, what if lockdown happens again, what if one of the passengers gets COVID, are we safe, do we have a backup plan, what are the consequences? And it is more obviously time consuming, but at the end of the day you are really covering all different instances. And it goes back to being the expert and being the point of contact for your customer that trusts you, because they know that you are really covering every single possibility, and you are acting in their interest to make sure that when they land at their destination, they can just say, wow, that was an absolute amazing experience. But if we were not able to go there, we know that we can trust the expert.
And I think it's testament to the trust that they have in you by asking you all those questions in the first place, because I don't think they would be asking if they didn't trust your answers. Jules, are you seeing similar things at Scott Dunn's side? A lot more questions. What happens if this happens? You know, where do I stand?
It's actually probably the first question people ask at the moment, because there have been so many changes. And I would be the first one to put my hands in the air, as I think would any of our competitors, and say that when this first happened, none of us were really sure how to deal with it. None of us just could deal with the huge volume. I mean, we had to repatriate people from all over the world. We had to repatriate our entire ski program when hotels shut overnight. Nobody's ever had to deal with that sort of huge scale of collapse. And we didn't have enough people. We didn't have enough resources. There were so many people who would be phoning in and saying, why haven't someone got back to me immediately? But we had to prioritize what we could do and who we had to look after first. But everybody was in a panic. And it was an emergency in the beginning. I would say that now, as time has gone on, we have now changed how we work 100%. We are now ready for these things. And I think the real trust that's come in is, can you extricate me from this? Can you actually move quickly? We all know, I know personally, I still have vouchers coming out of envelopes in British Airways because I couldn't get through. They cancelled flights. I couldn't speak to anybody. I couldn't get my money back. I mean, there was a whole thing on the news this morning about this. But at least if you book through a tour operator, and I think that's perhaps where booking a holiday has changed so fundamentally, you've got someone you can talk to. I know on the Scott Dunn private side, our guests know they can get through to you. You actually could say, I'm dealing with this. Give me some time. I know it's all a bit of a nightmare, but you've actually got a second party. It's like I can ring Davide and say, this has happened. What are we going to do? He can talk to the owner of the jet and see whether that can be postponed. That's what happened. Now, I say to Davide, the guest wants to know, if that country shuts its borders, what are the terms? Can we postpone? Nobody wants to put their money down on anything without knowing that they can actually extricate themselves or postpone. And that's what's really, really important at the moment, as Davide said, is communication. And that's why I know I can pick up the phone to Davide and he will sort something out. A guest knows they can pick up the phone to me. Can you imagine if you're trying to get through to a hotel in Bali because the airline has just basically cancelled all of your flights? And actually, that hotel's probably pretty uninterested. It's not their problem that Emirates is flying or whatever. Not perhaps the best example, but we all know what happened this last sort of 9 month period.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
It's important to have someone you can go to and look after you, that you trust.
I 100% agree. I think, and like going back to what you said about that example where you had to essentially rearrange someone's destination at the drop of a hat, I think the relief that that person, the consumer, feels when you tell them, don't worry, we've got this sorted for you, that is just a priceless feeling, and will inevitably continue to build that trust. And that's what you pay for at the end of the day. You don't pay these large amounts of monies to experts for them to turn around and say, sorry, there's nothing we can do. The important thing is that there has to be a way. You have to try and figure it out. So I can hear from both of you speaking that that is that kind of proactive, don't take no for an answer, we'll get this done, come hell or high water.
There's a wonderful expression that they always use in South Africa, and it sums up, and it is simply, we will make a plan. We'll make a plan. So it's... I don't know what to do now. I can't give you an answer, but we'll make a plan.
Yeah, I like that. I think I'll adopt that.
It is such a fantastic expression, because it's a way of, give me a bit of time, take a deep breath, we'll make a plan.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually, because a lot of people are just quick to say, like, don't worry, I'll sort it, when actually you don't know whether you can sort it yet. You have to first make a plan. And so from what I understand, Scott Dunn Private, which is this new higher level of the Scott Dunn service, that was launched this year, right? Was that launched this year?
We launched it publicly in November. Right. It's always been there, but it's been a secret. So it's invitation only. It's been where we look after our most loyal guests, our high net worth guests, our guests that need that extra layer of effectively having an individual personal travel advisor to look after them, do all their planning for up to a year or two in advance. So we decided really that within the world of the guest, as we call them at Scott Dunn, there were going to be people that really needed that extra level of expertise, of information, of communication, and knowledge of their own personal family background, and that they would value being a member of Scott Dunn Private. So we decided that actually we would put it out there. So we now have on our own website, the Scott Dunn website, there is the Scott Dunn Private pages where you can look through, you can see what it's all about. And it's really about taking travel to, we use the word limitless. It's taking it to another limitless experience where whatever pretty well you want, I can't get you to the moon at the moment, but pretty well what you want.
We talked with Elon Musk though, and it's coming.
Exactly. We can put it together. So we can put an extraordinary experience together. Somebody wanted to surprise his wife the other day, so we suggested that he went to Venice. We organized a dinner in a private palazzo. We could have had Andrea Bocelli come and sing for her that night. And then it was going to move on to an audience where they would be in a very special, intimate moment with the Pope. Now, that's just what somebody wanted. It might well be proposing to someone on an iceberg in the Antarctic. We like to think now that there are people out there who really have moved into the experiential world of travel.
Yeah.
And so we decided that we needed relationships with properties, relationships with private jets, relationships with places that were going to take you literally far from the madding crowd. We're going to take you to places that felt very remote, very secure, very aware that the crowds and the sort of holidays that some of these people used to take just weren't going to happen anymore.
Right. So the decision to make it a more public offering is a prediction of how things are going to change.
Yes, you can see it. And, you know, it's very similar to what we do with Victor now. If people from Victor contact us, then we basically, the membership is there. Everything is there if you're the right match that wants that level of care, that wants those type of properties, that wants those type of experiences. They're not for everyone, which is why we have this wonderful team of travel specialists in Scott Dunn who will look after you if you just are someone who wants to go on a lovely Scott Dunn Explorers holiday with your kids to one of our hotels or our kids clubs. You might want to go to the Caribbean once a year for a super holiday. Perfect. We'll look after everybody. But the private side was really put aside, like a bank would have the private wealth side, like so many companies today now have that sort of section where someone wants a little bit more, needs a bit more, yeah, must have and must be ready to entrust a lot more with somebody. And that's where Scott Dunn Private comes in.
Excellent. And I'm quite interested to hear how that process kind of works from going backwards from proposing to your girlfriend, hopefully now fiance, on an iceberg. That would be awkward if she said no and you're in the middle of the Antarctic. So working back from that, How, if someone wants to come to Scott Dunn, whether that's a Victor client or just a client in general, how do they come to you for the Scott Dunn private membership, and what's the process that they'll end up going through?
It's on our website. So there is actually in the navigation tabs, it says Scott Dunn private, and you would basically go through to the Scott Dunn private website. You would have a look at what it stands for. You would see the personal travel advisors. You would see some of the experiences that we put together. We call it the magic. For instance, I could put together a fantastic trip for you to see Chile. If you followed Chile with the limitless experiences and itinerary, yeah, it's taking it to a totally different travel voyage. It's a different journey. All of that is on there. So if you decide that you are the sort of person that would like that extra care, that actually is somebody who would benefit from effectively the private wealth side of a company, you then fill in a membership form. We call you back. We have a good chat with you. And we just say, is this what you want? Are we what you want? Is what I can offer you what you want? We'd bring in Victor. We'd bring in the sort of places that they might want to go to. We would showcase some of the experiences that they might want to do or what we could put together for them. And then at the end of that, you normally have someone from past experience who says, this is great. You know, I can actually sit with you once a year. You can come to my house. We also have lovely events that we do, which have been off the grid with the whole COVID pandemic. But
yeah,
we put these members together. We have special partnerships, Victor being the classic case at the moment that we're talking about. And all of those benefits come to the Scott Dunn private guests, plus a few more. But all of that is actually introduced to you once you've signed up effectively. It's free, but we've actually discussed and we've decided we have the fit. And what's really important to know is that we have incredibly close relationship with all of our suppliers. Davide would be an absolute classic example of me calling and saying, I'm going to put you in touch with John Smith. And John Smith's family is this. And I'm pretty sure that he will actually want a Gulfstream because he has this kind of luggage requirements. They're actually going this distance. But you're going to chat to him. I've told you all about him. I've told you everything that's relevant to you having that relationship. But you're the expert. And then I'll have the conversation with the general manager of, for instance, Gili Lang Fushi, which we've just done. And we'll just say to him, this is a really special guest coming through. This is who John Smith is. This is what they like. The family adore this. If you could do anything, that would be great. This is the person who's going to have a large resort spend with you. They love doing hundreds of activities. Can you please make sure the right butler, can you please make sure that this is the accommodation you give to them? I hate the word tailor-made, but it's so tailor-made what we actually put together for these guests, because you can only give them the best experience as the general manager of a resort, if you know what they want. Davide can only give them the best experience if he knows they're nervous travelers. They're not nervous travelers. They're very happy to actually have a larger jet. Actually, they need to be a little bit careful on this trip because they've got this trip. It's information. It's knowledge. It's what we really take hours and hours, which takes me back to the persona and the profile. It's knowing your guests. You've not only got the right place, but the people who are going to be looking after these people know what to do. And for high net worth guests, it's so important.
Yeah. So it's stepping away from this one size fits all excellent service. You're still going to get excellent service from the general manager at a certain hotel, but that's his one size fits all excellent service. And you can go one step further than that by that. Each person in the chain knowing who they're dealing with, what they like, and that's kind of what you're offering, I guess.
I think it's not just that. It's the tiny detail in that somebody going to, say, an island let's use an island in the Maldives as an example, would arrive, they're going to have a lovely holiday, their expectations are, this is what they want. Another family, so one of our high net worth private members, might have an enormous amount of requests around that same 2 week. They've got staff, they're landing a private plane, they've got crew to deal with, their children basically are absolutely needing X, Y, and Z. They need accommodation in this place. They have all sorts of different dietary expectations, and on it goes. It's another level that not all of us need. I don't need that.
Yeah. So when they arrive, all of those things are already happening. They don't have to basically think about it.
They don't need to think about it, and the GM will know everything. There's no point putting a bottle of champagne in someone's room if they don't like champagne and they like red wine. It's those little tiny things. Don't stock the fridge with Sauvignon Blanc if someone actually only likes white Burgundy. And I know they seem to be such small things, but people who are used to living that life, they need to be treated exactly the same when they're on holiday.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think it's those small things that show the extra effort that's gone in to make that experience what it is.
Yeah, we call it surprise and delight. It's actually often as well putting something in place for the guests so that when they arrive, they're surprised and hopefully delighted.
Well, I'm sure I would be. So what do you foresee the future of travel becoming, really, let's say 2021 and beyond? What do you think the main trends are going to be, the changes to how people are holidaying?
It was quite interesting. I was actually talking before lockdown went into the midnight hour last night with the publisher of Condé Nast Traveler, who's a friend, and also someone who's in the PR business. And we were all talking about how fundamentally, first of all, travel has changed in that there are a lot more people who are flying first class and business class.
Yeah.
Because they want that safety. There are a lot more, and I am talking from the Scott Dunn private and also the Scott Dunn side. There are people obviously taking private travel, private jets, private transfers, all of that. But people are looking for either places that are, I don't like to use the word remote because nobody wants to be completely cut off, but there's no way that people are looking for highly congested city breaks at the moment, for instance. They're looking for islands. They're looking for private islands. They're looking for villas. There's been an enormous demand now to be in your own safe pod where you know that everyone is looking after you. The hotels that have their own villas and have their own, let's just use the word pod again, because it could be a bourrée, it could be a cabana, it could be whatever.
Yeah.
But if you were to take somewhere like the Four Seasons in the Seychelles des Roches, it's spread out on a huge footprint. Every single room is actually its own villa suite within its own garden with its own plunge pool. Those sort of places are so in demand at the moment because people feel so safe within their own space. You can have a three-bedroom villa within a hotel complex. You're not marching down hundreds of corridors. You're not getting into a lift to the 11th floor. Now, I'm not saying that those places won't come back, but we have just seen that trend for a yacht, a private villa, a villa within an island resort.
Yeah.
I've just actually been to Barbados. Even a hotel like Cobbler's Cove is so popular because they have suites which are either on a ground floor with its own garden, or you go up a separate staircase to your own suite above, where you have your own veranda. And everything is outside. Everything is well placed. You don't need to even think about social distancing because you're sitting on a terrace.
Yeah.
That's why we, at the moment, are all of us suffering with the ski season. You know, how do you put all these people into a gondola? That's why all the countries are closed at the moment, because I don't think they could find a way around physically looking after these guests. So travel to places like Africa couldn't be better. Staying in a lodge, going out every day on your own game drive, you're outside, sitting outside at night around a boma under the stars. I mean, what could be less threatening or worrying in the pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, whatever you want to call it. That's what's going to be what's hot for 2021.
I agree. And Davide, what's changed with our sector that you're seeing in terms of destinations? A lot of people have been going a bit further. Do you think that's just because of the times now, or do you think that's something that's going to, like Jules was saying, probably have a lasting footprint?
Yeah, I mean, as Jules said, there has been definitely a shift in mindset when it comes down to destinations and what sort of places you want or accommodations you want to actually secure. When we introduced Alto Partners and then Scott Dunn as well as one of the partners, I obviously had the conversation about what Scott Dunn Private is actually doing and how we actually got into this partnership. And I could really sense out that my customers are really hungry for those kind of experiences that are exclusive, that are different than what they used to do maybe 9 months ago. And there is clearly a pattern as well with private jets. I have customers who probably were keen to just like use a very economical solution, maybe a small jet, traveling short distances. And now with all the concerns that come with COVID, they have shifted towards larger aircraft. And once they obviously experience that, it comes as well with let's go for further destinations because we can use that aircraft as well. So there has been quite an interesting shift in mindset as well with my customers, which I think, you know, once this all is over, I can see that people will really start to enjoy travel again, but in a completely different way, and explore different avenues. So that's what I see. And as Jules said as well in the very beginning, there is nothing more important than being able to gather even the smallest details of your customers, because all those small details will definitely make a difference to their experience. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to have the conversation after their trip, why didn't you arrange this? And why did you not think of that? Because we had this conversation already long time ago. Mm-hmm. So I always say it to my colleagues, especially the more junior ones, the more information you're able to gather and also capture, that's the most important and crucial thing, the easier your job is going to be at the end of the day. Especially if you have repeat customers or loyal customers that come back to you, you don't want to talk about what you discussed over and over again, for the last 2 years. You just want to have a new conversation with them, because this is how you create relationship at the end of the day. You want to discuss about their experience in that new destination and what you may want to improve for the next one, or what did they really like about that? And that's a crucial part of our job, like trying to really embrace whatever they experienced and convert it then into their next trip. I mean, that's definitely important, I believe.
100%. I think I agree with you both in the sense that probably now, once people experience these new things, like you said, David, it's hard to go back. You know, if you've had a Range Rover for 5 years, you're not going to get a Vauxhall Corsa for your next car.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. It's really interesting to see that I have customers that would only fly short distances on a private jet, and now all of a sudden, you know, they found themselves in a much bigger aircraft, and they're really keen to go even further. And
guess what? They love it.
Yeah, and they love it. I mean,
so Jules, I'd love to hear what your, just from your own personal experiences that you've arranged, what your favorite, if you're allowed to tell us, if what your favorite experience that you put together so far. I saw one on the website called The Birthday, which was pretty spectacular. But I didn't know whether you had a personal one that you...
I'm in the middle of planning it. We've actually got... We've got a new limitless experience that we're doing with the Ultimate Driving Company. And I always like to think about different people. So if you could imagine a grandfather and a father and a son, or even just a father and a son post-graduation, we often get this, doing something a bit different and being able to be driving some of the most exclusive supercars in the world. And you basically fly into Tuscany. I mean, look at Davide smiling. So you get a private jet in and you get father and son and you're put into cars that simply are beyond the pale. And you drive them, you're allowed to drive cars that are thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds. And you stay in beautiful hotels and you drive between them. The experiences are all put together. You see, something like that is so tailor-made.
Yeah.
Actually, it might be in a mother and a daughter. There are plenty of petrol heads out there.
And so you position all of these cars at various different destinations, and
we actually have a company that does it, which is incredible. And without giving too much away, that they are cars that most people would you would just dream of.
Yeah, I saw on your promo video for Scott Dunn Private. I loved the line "access to the inaccessible."
Yes,
I thought that was brilliant. That sounds like exactly what you do.
It's access to the inaccessible. It's basically opening doors where doors normally would not be opened. And, you know, I did some ladies once. They wanted a girls' lunch and we went on the Eurostar to Paris. We had the most amazing lunch at the Bristol. And then we went and looked at Coco Chanel's apartment, which is not open to the public, where she used to live, and everything was there. And then we went to the Chanel Fine Joaillerie and they all got to try on all these beautiful jewels. It's a girly thing, but it was just the most lovely afternoon. Then we went for champagne and then she brought her girlfriends home. But what a lovely day, and going to places and being introduced and just being somewhere when the door is shut and actually being able to open that door is spectacular.
Absolutely. And what would you say your most challenging experience? Challenging as in challenging, you know? There must have been some difficult ones in the past.
I think the most challenging experiences I've ever had is when we've had guests going to countries where their expectation has been one thing and even the country could not perhaps deliver.
Right.
That. There is a certain point where we did a New Year's Eve dinner in one of the temples in Angkor Wat with some guests who were actually staying there. Wow. And that was extraordinary. That was amazing. But there are some places that you really can't get to.
Yeah.
Now, I know that there are certain companies who would say, fine, going to spend 1 or 2 or 3 million, fine. They're in a different league to some of the things. But I remember we had somebody who, they wanted to climb up Ayers Rock once Ayers Rock had been shut to, as we know, the public. Well, there are certain things you can't transcend. There are certain things that you can't interfere with the actual, but the biggest challenges are offending people's cultural limits, that you actually find people want to go past those, but you can't.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Otherwise, it's really just getting it the holiday right. It seems to be so easy, but it's not.
I know. I get the same thing with my clients, and I'm sure Davide gets the same thing with his clients every day. It seems very easy. It's just booking a flight. Wow, there's a lot of things that go into that.
Yeah, but somebody always wants a flight that's full. Somebody always wants a hotel that's full. Yeah. Somebody always wants to be in the suite that the zones, but it's full. And those are the challenges you have to face, because you have to basically educate people that if they want to have that particular jet, if they want to go to that particular place, if they want to have that incredible guide, there's a lodge in Africa of which, I mean, there are only so many master guides in the world. If you're going to have one of those, you can't book the week before. Yeah. And it's actually educating people that if you want to give them something really special, you need time.
Absolutely. Well, I think just to recap, if there's anyone listening to this that wants to check out Scott Dunn Private or Scott Dunn the Normal Service or Victor's Service, we will be putting all of the details up on the Victor Voices page. Just to kind of recap how the partnership works between Scott Dunn and Victor. Victor's loyalty program credits you with points each time that you spend on flights, and the same thing will now happen with Scott Dunn Holidays. So definitely check that out. And as always with Victor Voices, I wanted to finish the podcast with some quick fire questions to you, Jules, which are for the listeners to kind of take away and basically a couple of things to look up on their own. So if you were going to recommend something to read, what would that be and why would you recommend it?
I've always loved the Patrick Leigh-Fermor books because they were just so fascinating, starting in the 1930s, about this 18-year-old who crosses effectively from the Hook of Holland all the way to Constantinople. Just the way that he describes all these amazing places and the people that are there. And he's got a house above a bay, and basically you can now rent it personally for you know, a house party. And I just thought, how extraordinary that this man went to so many places. He ended up being in this wonderful place. He's a bit of everything, but it's his travel stories that are just so fantastic.
It's going back to your passion for travel. I can hear it in everything you say. And what about something to watch?
I love Rick Stein's Long Weekends. I know it's old, but it is just wonderful seeing how he gets completely into the culture. He gets completely involved in sometimes the smallest hotels. He gets involved with the people, and he's describing somewhere. The Venice to Istanbul one was wonderful, but you just feel like you're there, you're traveling. It's armchair traveling at its best.
And which people will be looking to do a lot of over the Christmas period, I'm sure.
It's lighthearted and it's fun.
And finally, to finish the podcast, your favourite inspirational quote or words of wisdom?
I have always lived by 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did. So throw off the bowlines, sail away from the safe harbour, catch the trade winds in your sails. Explore, dream, discover.
I think that's the perfect way to end this podcast. Thank you, Jules, for joining us. And Davide, it was great speaking with you. Very, very interesting. And enjoy the rest of your day and the holidays.
Thank you so much. It's been lovely chatting about normal things to do with travel.
A big thank you to Jules Maury from Scott Dunn and Davide Palladino for joining me today. And thank you to all the listeners for listening in to Victor Voices. This will be the last episode of the year, but we'll definitely be continuing it in 2021. So please do subscribe. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple Podcast app, and you can also listen to it at any time on www.flyvictor.com/victor-voices. And if you have any ideas for subjects you'd like to hear on the podcast, I've actually got a box for you to feedback on there, so please feel free. Thank you again for listening to Victor Voices.